You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. Congress also passed a short-term measure to give some federal funding to CHIP, the Joint Federal and State Children's Health Insurance Program. Long-term funding expired at the end of September, and many state programs don't have much money left. Almost 9 million kids use CHIP. Their families make too much to qualify for Medicaid, but can't easily afford insurance. We're going to look at one state, Alabama. One in eight Alabama kids is on CHIP. Before this stopgap funding, Alabama was about to have to kick kids off the program starting February 1st. They've gotten a reprieve, but things are still tenuous. We called the Alabama Department of Public Health, and the head of their Children's Health Insurance Department, Kathy Caldwell, told us, quote, "It's kicking the can just a few weeks, but I have to admit, it's better than nothing." We wanted to understand the effects on kids. So we called Marsha Rawlerson, a pediatrician in rural Brewton, Alabama. 10% of her patients use CHIP. I spoke with her before the short-term funding was approved, and I asked about whether the families she sees have other insurance options besides CHIP.
I've had families tell me that if they tried to get insurance through their job with family coverage, it would be as much as $600 a month. They also have very high copays. In fact, I'd say the kids who get the worst care in my area are the ones who have copays of $40 or upwards. Mm. Because if the child gets sick, the parent has to say, well, do I have an extra $40 to pay the doctor today? And what if I get a prescription? Maybe I can just watch my child for a few days.
The state told us that you know, if there is no more funding, some of these kids would get a sort of certificate that they are coverable and would be able to go to Blue Cross. Of the families you see, would they be financially able to do that?
No. Right up front, I can tell you no.
So what would you say to members of Congress when the House and the Senate can't seem to agree on putting more money in this program?
What are you thinking of? What is more important? What is more important in our country than the health of our kids? And the future of our country depends on children getting what they need.
Dr. Rollerson, what happens to your clinic and offices? Alabama is not a wealthy state and probably does not have the revenue to make up any loss of federal funding.
Well, what worries me the most right now is our rural hospital. We have a rural hospital that serves a large population in this part of Lower Alabama, and they're right on the edge of going under. As far as my office is concerned, I'm a semi-retired pediatrician now. I care for only children with high-risk conditions. Already, I can't pay my bills.
Does that mean you're dipping into your own pocket?
Oh, yes. I have been dipping into my own pocket for quite a while. Mostly because my patients are predominantly Medicaid patients, and the reimbursement is not great. Plus, I try to spend a lot of time with high-risk children, and I can't imagine what's going to happen.
You know, one of the arguments we hear is that these kids, while they may be on CHIP or on All Kids, make too much money, or their families make too much money to qualify for Medicaid. Why do you think that the state and the federal government have an obligation to insure them?
Well, if we don't take care of our children, then we're going to have sicker adults. There's a lot of research now that shows that what happens in the first 3 to 4 years of life impacts the health of adults. But I think we have a moral obligation in our country to take care of our children. Children didn't ask to be born. Children don't ask to be sick. They're just doing the best that they can and want to be happy. And we have a moral, ethical obligation to take care of our children.
That was Dr. Marsha Rawlerson. But there's another side to this issue. Is the government obligated to take care of all needy children? And if you answer no, where do you draw the line? Naomi Lopez-Bauman directs healthcare policy at the Goldwater Institute, a libertarian think tank. Welcome.
Thank you.
Should children have their own separate government-backed insurance program?
It really does not make a lot of sense to have children under a separate policy from their families. You might have multiple family members in completely different policies, and we want to be subsidizing only the people who actually need that coverage.
I mean, I think one of the great ironies of this, right, is that CHIP grew out in many ways of the failure to pass some sort of healthcare reform in the Clinton administration in its early days. And it seemed like politicians of all stripes could say, well, OK, kids are good. We agree on insuring kids.
Well, I do think that while this program did enjoy broad bipartisan support, you know, I think that there is a national consensus that we do want a vibrant and robust safety net for those who are the most vulnerable and the poorest among us. And we do want accessible and affordable care for everyone. So what are the best ways of going about doing that? If we started today, I don't think we would build.
Well, hold on a second. I want to push you on that a little bit, because if we say the most vulnerable among us, I mean, isn't that kids?
Well, it's not. So let's take New York, for example. New York's CHIP program covers up to about 400% of poverty. And so this particular program is not exactly what lawmakers had in mind when they were trying to provide for those children who could not otherwise access health insurance coverage.
You know, there is this big kind of philosophy of government question that underpins all of this, which is, does government have an obligation to provide care for children, for the poorest of the poor? How do we look at that? How do you look at that?
So I think that we as a society have made a determination that we do want to provide a safety net for those, the most vulnerable among us. I think that what's really important to keep in mind, though, are the perverse incentives that are in place that provide states far more money in terms of dollar-for-dollar matches for expansion populations or under CHIP, which are children, but not necessarily the neediest of the children, basically putting those who might be able to meet their needs in other ways in the front of the line over those most vulnerable, who we do want to provide a safety net for those individuals.
Naomi Lopez-Bauman, Director of Healthcare Policy at the Goldwater Institute, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.